Hello, good morning and welcome to Café Beva in Glanmire, and I'm sitting here with a member who's elected to the Irish Parliament. He's John Gilroy and he's a senator. And John, look, you've got a job, and let's cut right to the chase. You're preparing a report which is coming out very soon about suicide prevention in Ireland. Can we talk about this? And first thing I want to find out is the context for this report. You know, how on earth do you get to be writing this report? So tell me what you've just started to tell me already.
Okay, Paul, thanks. Good morning. I'm Senator John Gilroy, and I am the Labour Party health spokesperson in the Senate, which is the upper house of the Irish Parliament. I'm also have been appointed about 18 months ago as the grandly named rapporteur on suicide prevention to the Oireachtas Health Committee.
Now, you've got to explain to me two things. First of all, tell me what the Health Committee of the Oireachtas is, right? We'll get that in context first.
Okay, the Oireachtas, of course, is just the Irish word for the Irish Parliament.
Two houses,
upper and lower house. The upper house is the Senate, and the lower house is the Dáil. So the parliamentary system in Ireland works in conjunction with the parliaments. There's a series of committees set up in which to look at different policy matters in a greater level of detail than might be possible on the floor of either of the chambers.
And so, these committees call people in evidence and produce reports and all that kind of stuff.
Well, firstly, how they're constituted is that they're drawn from cross-party populations. Like, so the chairman of the health committee, for instance, is Gerry Buttermer, TD for Cork South Central. He's Fine Gael TD. So every party is represented.
And you're Labour.
I'm Labour, yeah.
All right. So every party. And you cooperate.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. On the committees, there's no politics. Politics is reserved for 6 months before an election, and party politics is. So every party is represented on each committee, and also both houses are represented. So there's TDs and senators. So this is called the joint committee. Joint means a joint committee of both houses.
And this one about health then is all about health. Is it the whole gamut about health?
It is. Each committee mirrors a department, if you understand. So you have a Minister for Health, of course.
There's a committee for health.
There's two committees,
in fact. And you scrutinise his work or
correct.
Her work?
And feed into the policy of the department as well.
Do they listen to you?
Not often, but sometimes.
Got it.
So about 18 months ago, my background is I'm a psychiatric nurse for nearly 30 years of my life. So my main interest in Irish political life is to try, and my main reason to answer it is to try and do some small bit to promote the mental health service in this country. That's the reason I entered politics.
We both know, have a huge interest, both of us, from different angles, in mental health anyway.
Of course. Mental health issues affect everybody in this country, whether we're aware of that or not. So, it's probably one of the most single important aspects of life, as far as I can see, anyway. So we'll leave that for that moment.
Yeah.
So about 18 months ago, I was appointed rapporteur to the Health Committee on Suicide Prevention. So
A rapporteur, of course, is
a French word. It's a great word for one who writes a report. So I'm charged with bringing a report on suicide prevention to the Health Committee. And it's almost ready now. It's in draft form.
And did you volunteer to bring that report, or did they tell you to write a report, how did it work?
How it works is that you make a proposal to the committee on areas, policy areas of interest. Like, for instance, Peter Fitzpatrick's Fine Gael TD in Louth. Peter is a football manager, Irish football manager, former of Louth County. Very great interest in sport, as you could imagine. Real interest in fitness, lifestyle, sort of stuff. So he proposed that he would bring a report on childhood obesity to the committee. So it's really good stuff that he's doing. It's only been published at the moment. I've seen a draft. It's really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
And that'll be presented to the committee in the next week or two. So there's all different sorts of reports on different policy issues that people would have a particular interest in.
Look, when supposing I'm on the committee, right, and John Gilroy comes in with his report, I presume you have to do a presentation or something and be quizzed about it, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we say, thanks very much, John, very nice report. I'll add the report to my library.
That's right.
Is that what happens, what happens?
All too often, that's exactly what happens, but we must try and ensure that doesn't happen in this regard. And I'll come on to that if you don't mind, but first of all, I'll tell you what I was doing in writing the report. The shelves in Leinster House are groaning under the weight of previously published reports. And like you say, Paul,
Leinster House, by the way, is the place we refer to. That's the physical building in which the two houses of the Irish Parliament are located. Sorry, John.
Yeah, no, that's good. So to try and ensure that this report doesn't join hundreds of other reports on the shelves, we need to put in a strategy in to ensure that it at least gets an airing. So I started off with a blank page, really, 18 months ago. I didn't want to produce a report that describes the situation, because there's plenty of reports that describe the situation with regard to suicide in Ireland. We can talk about statistics and we can talk about all those things, important as they are, but they're previously published, so we don't want to replicate that. So what I decided to do was start completely with a blank page, and I decided I was going to avoid all the official agencies in Ireland at the start.
The Mental Health Commission, the
National Office of Suicide Prevention, Department of Health, the Minister. I said I will not consult with those until the very end of the report.
Right.
And the reason I decided to do that, Paul, is because I didn't want my thinking to be coloured by the thinking of Official Ireland, of what is already happening. So I hoped to be able.
I hope to be able
to go out into our communities and talk to as many people as possible and try and gain some new insight into what we're doing and what we might be doing. So for better or for worse, and I have now, 18 months later, arrived at a position where the report is going to challenge the assumptions on which we base our approach to suicide. I'm not saying it's going to be controversial, but it's proposed.
Tell me, who did you go and see? Sorry, you said you were going to tell us who you went to see.
So the very first thing is I said I'd meet with everyone I could, everybody who has an interest in this, whether they're an expert or not. Indeed, the less expertise people had, the more interest I was in talking to them. So I met with, I tried to identify as many ordinary community groups who were out there working as I could, and I identified 50 or 60 of those and went speaking to people.
All around the country?
All around the country. I
got to get on your bike?
Literally. I laid aside every Tuesday morning for this, because the Senate meets on Tuesday afternoon at 2:30. So I would leave my home here in Cork at about 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning and try and meet as many people as I could on the way to Dublin.
So you're saying the public perception that you guys swan around sitting here in cafes drinking cups of coffee on a Tuesday morning before you claim your expenses going to Dublin is not quite accurate?
Not quite accurate, Paul. We won't rule that out entirely, but it's not quite accurate, you're right. So then I decided it was suggested to me, rather than me, decided that I would try and hear the voices of what we call ordinary people, and ordinary people won't be upset to be described as ordinary. So I held 10 public meetings around the country, which were attended by
Can you name counties?
I can. I held one in Cork, I held one in Tralee, I held one in Waterford, I held two in County Meath, because the first one was so poorly attended.
And you come from County Meath,
absolutely. And the first one was so poorly attended because I hadn't fully advertised it properly. I held one in Louth, I held one in Galway, I held one in Sutton in Dublin, and I held one in Lucan in Dublin. So that's 9 public meetings we held, which were attended by just over 700 people.
Did you have any people with you, or was it just John Gilroy alone? Did you surely have someone in the room with you?
I did, because the way to do it would be, let's say, just pick for instance in Dundalk is where we did one of the meetings. So who would know me in
County
Dundalk?
County Louth. East coast of Ireland,
200 miles from where I live. Who would know me up there, Paul? Nobody is the answer. So if I was to advertise a meeting in Dundalk, who'd come to it? They'd say, who is this Senator John Gilroy? So the way I organised it in each county was that I hooked up with the local politician in the area, cross-party, not just Labour Party, every different party.
Do you talk to Fianna Fáilers?
Oh, absolutely.
My God.
Sinn Féin, everyone.
Even Sinn Féin.
What we asked people to do was the local well-known politician in their area would advertise a meeting in their own name, and introduce me to the audience when I arrived.
Right.
And what my when they say introduce, I give a brief outline of what I'm doing, and then I sit back and listen. We recorded all the meetings to make sure that we missed nothing.
How did you record them?
Yeah, just on my iPad. It was very good. We could hook up into
have loads and loads of audio recordings of people in Ireland.
Absolutely.
In 100 years' time, John, they'll be invaluable.
God,
imagine the archive. Imagine if you had public meetings in the 19th century.
That's right, yeah. That'd be brilliant, yeah.
Chatting in rooms. Oh, my God.
And so it was easy to do because it's all hooked up to the internal PAs of the rooms that we were in, so it was easy to do. The quality is very good. Apart from
people didn't mind being recorded.
No, well, we did say at the beginning that that when people were talking, that if they had any difficulty at all about being recorded, just indicate and we'll turn off the recording. It didn't happen. Everyone's quite happy to
really. Yeah, that's a huge level of trust.
Yes, it really is. Yeah,
I mean that's fantastic.
And we said we wouldn't be using the recordings for any other purpose, only for what we are purporting to do. So, having met people, and in the meetings themselves, Paul, it was very important, but the part I found most valuable was after the meetings, when people were, we'd a cup of tea afterwards, and people would stay around, have a chat. And
you would hang out?
Oh, absolutely, for about an hour after every meeting. Just
these were evening meetings, were they?
Evening meetings, 8 o'clock is a good time to have a meeting. That, normally
where was the biggest meeting? Sorry.
The biggest meeting was in Sutton, in Dublin. It was run by Fianna Fáil Senator Avril Power.
And, oh, she's a good person.
Yeah, she's certainly
she's
character.
On the right side on the 50-50 debate too. Isn't
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I know you're not fully persuaded about that, but we'll
I'm not.
I don't want to hijack. Sorry, John. Avril Power
in Sutton.
All right,
so in North Dublin. So there's over about 120 or 30 people at that meeting, which is really good. And so
I never knew you politicians actually cooperated.
I know,
properly, you know, because this to me is
politicians only,
this to me is politicians doing something worthwhile.
Politicians mostly only bring in, evoke party politics and party political angst in the few months prior to an election.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you don't work together, Paul, you'd achieve nothing at all. If it was a constant fighting, you'd achieve nothing. Yeah. So most politicians cooperate by necessity. So. Next thing I did then was I wrote to all the coroners in Ireland to ascertain their views.
To the coroners?
Coroners, yeah.
People responsible for recording the deaths.
Or for recording inquests.
And the reasons why people die, etc.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, what I tried to do, of course, was to try and approach this from a different angle at every step.
Mm.
So, I mean, we spoke to all the coroners in the country. I surveyed by letter all the GPs in the country.
Hang on a minute. You sent a letter to every GP in the country. How many are there?
2,800 we sent letters to.
I bet you got a reply from 150.
If even that one.
Yeah.
I mean, GPs are extraordinarily busy, you know, and for one reason or another, the response rate wasn't as what I'd hoped. In fact, the response rate from the GPs didn't constitute even a workable sample. But look, I've got good stuff, though, Paul, you know what I mean?
No, but I'll tell you something, John. This is me as a citizen. Yeah. This is my... I feel incensed, to be honest, that people who are doctors...
Yeah. But to understand...
I know. You can be very kind to them. All I'm saying is I want to express how incensed I am.
Okay.
You were me. No,
okay, I'll humour you on that. Go ahead. But there's plenty of reasons why someone wouldn't respond to a letter.
Yeah.
And one of those is that GPs are so unbelievably busy and mostly under-resourced as well, Paul. So,
I can be very unfair sometimes, I know.
So
you're great.
It's a small bit hot, okay?
Sausages, eggs, tomatoes.
The breakfast has arrived.
Pudding, bacon is here.
This is his breakfast he's describing now, not my report.
Your report's going to be a dog's dinner, is it? Not a breakfast.
Go on, bud. So, having spoken so mainly to the voluntary and community organisations, as many as I could identify, coroners, GPs, members of the public, and anybody else. So, every Thursday morning as well, I laid aside to invite people into Leinster House to discuss these things with me as well. So, on a Tuesday, on my way to Leinster House, I laid aside several hours to meet people. And on a Thursday morning, while in Leinster House, I laid aside several hours as well to meet people in Leinster House as well. So, anyway, it's quite a long...
You have a fancy plush office in
I have
Leinster
a nice
House.
Office. I do. I've one of the best offices in Leinster House, but it's in the older part of the building, which the offices are much bigger.
And how many people could you fit in there to meet you? Just roughly.
Five or six more.
Very good, yeah.
Seven or eight. But there's lots of meeting rooms available in Leinster House.
I see what you mean.
And mainly, Paul, I prefer to meet people informally and have a chat over a cup of coffee like we're doing now. We get better engagement than sitting formally across the table from someone.
So,
what started off so as an exercise with a blank piece of paper has now come together as a report which is making 5 points only. And what
how long is it physically? Sorry,
it'll be less than 20 pages, well, because what we'll do is we are going to annex the technical side of it into another volume. So the statistics and methodologies will
be... So it's kind of it won't be too big for me to carry around in my bag?
No, this is deliberately so. We want to keep it brief, Paul. We could speak forever about this topic. I could anyway, and you could too, I know. But what we need to do is to try and distill down the essence of the report into something that's bite-sized, if you like, without being dumbed down. So what I decided I was going to make five main points in the report. You could make any number of points, but I decided we'd try and five. Distill it down to five. And the points are not policy recommendations, because policy is for the minister and the department to form,
right,
not for the committee. We can feed into policy. But what I want to do, Paul, is to start what's called a conversation around suicide, and hopefully this report will be the first step in that. Now, when I'm saying a conversation about it, I need to be very careful about this, because a conversation can be many things, but what I'm really trying to get here is a purposeful conversation, which is a bit more restricted than a general conversation. And so...
But it's also designed to lead to something.
Correct. So the five main points that we're discussing, I'm calling them signposts for conversation, so we're just going to signpost them.
No, this will go out in public.
That's fine.
Don't want you to steal your own thunder.
No, that's fine. We can give the general outline. I'm going to be publishing it next week anyway. It will be on the 13th of March, which is next Thursday week. There are two public hearings of the Oireachtas Health Committee discussing this report with experts who have been invited in to discuss it.
Will it be on television?
It will.
You must tell me what time of the day it is.
Half past nine in the morning it's starting.
Live streamed?
Yep, correct. On one of the higher up channels, Paul, run the Oireachtas, maybe is it 204 or some Mondays on
I know it. Yeah. I know you can get to it. That's good. So it will actually be on.
It will. So we're bringing in a series of experts to discuss the report. They'll be circulated with it in advance. So the people we're bringing in, I propose, is somebody from the National Office of Suicide... Oh, no, sorry. The National Suicide Research Foundation. We're hoping to bring in someone from...
They're Irish.
Irish, correct. Based in UCC here in Cork, as it happens. We are bringing in somebody from the Central Statistics Office.
Who's head of that organisation, by the way? Does that come into your head at the moment?
It did, yes. Her name is Professor Ella Ahrensman, and she's also the president of the International Association of Suicide Prevention. So Ella's an extremely eminent person in this area, probably one of the foremost thinkers, not just in Ireland, certainly in Europe, and maybe even at the world of this.
Oh my God, and I've never heard of her. No, right,
she's just fantastic.
Right, go on.
So we'll be asking Ella to send some of her staff to discuss this. She might even come herself, we hope. But that's her decision entirely. We'll be bringing in someone from the Central Statistics Office to talk about how we collate our statistics, because there is a real sense that death by suicide is underreported and underrecorded. There's a real sense of this.
Yeah, probably by 10 times.
We don't know.
We've never known. Yeah. Nobody ever knows.
So yeah. We will be bringing in someone from the Central Statistics Office to describe how they collate the figures. We hopefully bring someone from the Coroner's Office who are centrally involved, of course, in recording suicide deaths, or recording verdicts of suicide deaths, rather. And we'll be bringing somebody in from the Gardaí as the first responders. So that would be session one.
Is there a section of people in the guards who know about these things?
I hope there is, yeah. We would imagine there is, yeah. So that's session one on Thursday morning from 9:30 until 11 o'clock. The second part of the session is the second part of the morning, and we hope to bring in people from the national voluntary sector who are working in this area. I'm hoping that there'll be someone from the national organisations of AWARE, Pieta House, and CONSOLE, the National Office of Suicide Prevention, as well as the body responsible for overseeing this. So each of these organisations will be circulated with a copy of the report in advance, and we'll be discussing it. So I'm really hoping for here is not for everyone to come in and agree that this is a good piece of work. I want people to come in here and critically analyse it and say, this is fantastic or this is terrible, let's have a conversation about it. That's what the function of the report is, Bob.
And will you try and get media publicity on the day? So have you got journalists lined up knowing it's going to happen and all that?
Absolutely, yeah. But what we will do afterwards, Paul, is I'm going to go back on the road afterwards to hold another series of public meetings over the next 2 years to ensure that what comes out of this conversation remains topical, and hopefully will at some level feed into the policy.
One last thing. I have often found that it's very helpful to have a very short little leaflet that somebody could carry around with them, because no one... Will there any chance there'll be a leaflet about the report?
Okay, maybe. I haven't considered that. But the report is technical enough.
Brilliant. Thank you, John.